Recording in a sec.
Yeah, ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. This podcast this week is all NBA, NBA news, games, and anything centered around the NBA.
So what you're telling me today is the NBA?
Well, pretty much. I should have just said today is the NBA. Stop. I should have kept going.
Today is the NBA. Full stop. Okay.
That's it. I'm going to start it every time now. Today is the NBA. Full stop.
Full stop.
Oh, that's an awesome start. Did you want to go over some of those games you had sort of down? We were talking just before we got on. And I'll sort of chime in with some of those sort of games, if you would like.
Well, I think right at the start of the week, we had a we had sort of a bit of a destruction. Like, okay, it's only Atlanta, and everybody knows Atlanta's poo. But Jokic had 47. He's starting to really get on top of his game at the moment. Since a very slow start to the season, so. He sort of come at it and blasted Atlanta a little bit. And even on the same day, like, it's a bit of a low scoring game, but Washington knocked off Boston at the start of the week too. Like, Washington had no Beal and Boston had no Kemba. And Ish Smith, who's been playing great for Washington since Bradley Beal's been out. But Bradley Beal has come back later this week, or, you know, he come back yesterday. As we're recording this on a Tuesday, he come back yesterday, and didn't really look like he missed too much of a beat, but he's been out for 5 games as well. So that's probably a nice little plan all along, you know, nice little tank job by Washington to sort of get him to sink down a little bit. Like, they're not as bad as Atlanta, but
they're not as bad.
They've had some ordinary games, but they're not an absolute terrible team.
No, I quite like. I don't know what I think about. I mean, I guess I like the remnants of that team, so to speak. I thought the Isaiah Thomas going there was a good move for him because he's been playing fairly productive this year. I just don't know if they're at. I mean, they've still got one big name to come back, and that is John Wall. Because it's still paying for that massive contract.
How long it's going to be before he comes back. So,
are they a rebuild? I don't know. Are they a rebuild? Because, I mean, do they put all the chips in the basket and then offer Beal, you know, they're going to have to, I suppose, a Supermax contract, or does Beal even take it and then they just completely rebuild? I don't know.
If Beal doesn't take it or they look like that they're losing him, then they'll have no option but to trade him to try and get something back.
I mean, they got, like, there's a few decent pieces they got there. That Rui Hachimura that they picked up in the I think he was top 15 in the draft.
He was near top 10.
I quite that game that you were talking about. I quite liked Jordan McRae. He had a pretty decent game
He's been balling. Yeah, he's been balling lately as well.
So they've got some, I guess. Well, they've got some young pieces, obviously, and so do the Hawks. And the Hawks are just, well, I don't know what to think of the Hawks. That's a problem with that. I don't know if they've got too many young people. I don't know what to think of the Hawks, and I don't even know if it ends up happening. I don't even know if they trade for Drummond, if that's even going to make him any better, and if Drummond stays there. Drummond probably wouldn't even stay there.
I think you'd think he'd rather just stay in Detroit. Well, you know, maybe the weather might be a bit better in Atlanta, but as opposed to Michigan, so. That'd be the only good thing, because he can still sort of be you know, a decent player in that Detroit system. You know, Derrick Rose is playing. You know, he's playing terrific off the bench, just on Detroit as well. Blake Griffin has finally succumbed to that left knee injury. He's gone in for surgery, out indefinitely, and zero timetable on when he'll be back. So that's I would think that's probably his season done.
Well, yeah, I agree. I believe that's his season done. I was going through and just looking at like top 100 players of decades and all that, and I swear to God, and this is all centered around Blake Griffin, by the way, I swear to God, probably 10 to 15 of them were Blake Griffin, whether it's obviously his dunks, and it's, you know, there's a lot of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin in that. But did he put too much into that? Is he just too banged up? Because you know, he's had pretty consistent run and sort of injuries in the last 2 to 3 years.
You can almost say his whole career.
Yeah.
Like he's had more injury plague seasons than what he had and than what he has non-injury plague seasons.
It's hard to say when a player's sort of done, obviously, and he's still young. But man, it was great for the Clippers when they traded him. I just think he's
That's right.
When he comes up to his free agency, it'd be a lot of hard. I'd be hard pressed to see a team sort of take a punt on him because he is very injury riddled. When he's great, he's great.
Teams will take a punt on him. They're probably not going to pay him in large amounts like he has been previously.
Just on that same sort of day, Lakers beat the Mavericks 129-114. The thing that just sort of stood out for me was, that the Lakers beat the Mavericks for starters, and secondly that with Anthony Davis being out, Kuzma sort of stepped up in that game.
Yeah, no, Kuzma's been pretty good in the absence of Anthony Davis lately. I think LeBron sat out midweek as well.
Yeah,
I think he sat it out. I sat out like a Saturday game against Oklahoma City. So they had no AD. They still won.
Yeah,
and it was in OKC. Kuzma sort of proved his worth with 36 points. The game that you talked about was the day before on ESPN was total domination by LA. Like Dallas just there, they looked, they made the Mavericks look pretty ordinary in that game. Granted, okay, no Kristaps Porzingis out again with right knee soreness that has been happening quite a lot lately. How much you want to think into that, I'm not 100% sure. Like they're just being super cautious with him. If he's got any sort of pain or soreness in that knee, they're just like, right, you're not playing. You're just simply not going out there. Zion Williamson.
Just reading something now, Porzingis, and it's literally just hit 9 hours ago on ESPN. Well, an ESPN staff writer that. Yes, he's got right knee soreness, but he's been terribly sick, which has delayed his sort of progress. So, I suppose being actually physically sick doesn't help because you can't get
around. But. Yeah, that's it. I guess in America it's cold and flu season, so he should be getting on the quadril cold and flu, I guess.
He's European. He should be used to the cold.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. Maybe he's gotten soft going down to Dallas for that little while.
Yeah.
Some actually half decent weather down there. He lived in New York for a couple of years.
Well, this is true.
Yeah. Not liking that regular weather.
Other sort of games that stood out. I think you also mentioned we haven't mentioned yet, but and this is we're all skipping games all over the shop here, but. Kyrie Irving's return against the Hawks for the Nets.
Yeah. Alert. There's been a Kyrie Irving sighting in an actual Brooklyn Nets singlet. It was 10 of 11 from the field. Like it was crazy. 21 points, you know, like an insanely efficient game for him. So You know, read into that what you will. He's been out for 26 games.
He shot 21% from the field. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, that's it. He only shot 1-3.
Yeah.
A lot of it was sort of, you know, some difficult sort of shots, you know, going to the rack and you know, nice high layups, and he had a few turnaround jump shots on defenders as well. So it's not as if they were easy shots, you know. It was everything was a fast break layups.
It's I mean, like you said, I read into it what you will. I just, man, if he's going to play like that, I really can't wait until Kevin Durant comes back next year, because they are going to be a great team.
They're going to be a pretty crazy duo. Yeah, you know, there was no Trae Young in that game either, so, you know, not to say that would have made a whole lot of difference, but Atlanta only scored 86 points, and the only starter that had double figures was Cam Reddish, who's been one of their more ordinary players this year. So, yeah, that's not saying a whole lot about Atlanta. Too much Atlanta talk already.
That's a good point. Why are we talking about Atlanta so much?
I don't like it. Well, they got 8 wins. Yeah.
Well, the next game was the other sort of standout. It was against Minnesota. Cool. James Harden coming the 45th player to score 20,000 career points.
Yeah, what did he have? I think he had 32 on the night. So, 30, you know, congrats to James Harden. Like you said, yeah, 45th player in the history of the NBA to get to 20,000. And then he looks like he's got plenty more in the tank to rumble through. Like he's one of the most unbelievable scorers that the league's seen in the last. Yeah, well, especially since he's been at Houston, like his scoring numbers have just exploded, and even the last 2 to 3 years, his scoring numbers are just they're just from he's from outer space, like it's ridiculous, and nobody can stop him.
So there's a breakdown in CBS Sports he's 30 years old, 20,000 points. If they're sort of going conservatively here, he could make about 36,000 points by the time he's 35, and the only two players that have that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. So that's conservative, and that's by 35. So look, you know, that's I could see him playing past 35, obviously, but. Well, you know, LeBron.
I mean, he's got the game. He's got the game that he'd be able to. It's not as if he's got a reckless game, you know, almost like his teammate Russell Westbrook. You know, he's got a fairly sort of conservative game. Yes, he gets hit a lot when he goes to the cup and he shoots a lot of free throws and things like that. But you know, I think he would be the kind of player that would be able to adapt and possibly become more of a shooter, which is scary to say because he takes about friggin' 25 triples a game.
I think
alarming the amount of threes that he takes.
It is. I mean, I think I was talking about this to a friend, this is a whole top 100 players. We were just talking about ages, about all these players and all that. And he goes, so what do you think about James Harden? I said, yeah, James Harden is an unbelievable shooter. But James Harden also, if you don't look at what you see, because you've got to look at the stats. James Harden shoots, you know, 1,000 shots a game. He might make 20, but he don't care about that field goal percentage at all. He could care less about that.
He don't care about those. Yeah, he don't care about that. He don't care about that. Yeah, maybe about his free throw percentage, because his free throw percentage is freaking crazy as well. But yeah, he ain't too worried about efficiency.
No. Another sort of standout in NBA news/games, Mr. Jimmy Butler and Mr. TJ Warren sort of, well, they did get face-to-face. I wasn't going to say they looked like they got. They actually got close and actually nose-to-nose even, if it was WrestleMania when
Rock Hogan right up against each other's face.
Or a bloody Triple H and Goldberg. I don't know, there's a couple of them that get nose, and they've all got big noses.
Nose to nose, giving each other Eskimo kisses.
Well, I don't think this was very Eskimo kiss like. This was.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was more along the lines of kiss my Eskimo. Jimmy Butler was just very unimpressed with the level of defense that was played on him by one TJ Warren, and expressed that rather vocally in the press conference afterwards. But it was just, you know, like if you run through the play, it was just a little arm grab as he went past him, and Jimmy Butler's just, yeah, sort of they sort of jawed back at each other, you know, a bit of back and forth, and then I'm pretty sure it was the next possession they come down and TJ Warren was right up in Butler's grill, and Butler just sort of shoulders forward, and then Butler gets called for the offensive foul. TJ Warren channels his inner Dennis Rodman and starts clapping like right behind him, which, you know, back in the day you could totally get away with, but apparently these days you can't get away with that. So Warren got teched up.
It was a flagrant,
He ended up being ejected, and you know, Jimmy Butler's blowing him kisses and telling him you soft, and yeah, he definitely took it personal.
He took it very personally. And I think there was I'm only reading mouths here. There were some fairly choice words in that too. So.
Oh yeah, profanities in there, and like you said, you know, in the press conference afterwards, he's sort of saying, you know, he's not even in my league. He's trash.
Which is true.
He's
not lying. Exactly. It being he got past him pretty easily, so he wasn't really lying.
No, that's true. He sort of come out with the quote of if I was their coach, so I don't know if he doesn't know who Nate McMillan is, or he didn't know that Nate McMillan was coaching in Indiana, or he just simply didn't know who was coaching Indiana. He just sort of come out and said, yeah, if I was their coach, I would not put him on me again.
And you said, and this is probably where all these fines come into play. You said, I guess post game, Jimmy Butler's circle the next date that they play Indiana Pacers.
March 12th.
That just reading the fines on that. Warren got 25 foul and Butler got 35 foul. Not for the altercation, but also because he escalated the incident on social media.
Extra 10 grand for an Instagram post.
Escalated the incident on social media. I love it.
Yeah, now the blowing kisses afterwards. Yeah, that's not escalating it at all. Like, you know, that's during the game. So yeah, that's no instigation there. That was for a relatively nonchalant game. You know, just Heat v Pacers in Indiana. Just turned into it turned into a good day's worth of news.
It was a good day's worth of news. any other sort of games that sort of out for you?
No, like you said, you know, that's that LA smashing of Dallas. I thought also early in the week too that I was on TNT, but I thought Philadelphia made a bit of a statement against Boston. Mm-hmm. It was like 109-98. Pretty sure it was in Boston.
First time I've seen Josh Richardson actually play decent, by the way.
No, he had 28 points. He was quite good.
He was good.
But you know, as we sort of segue into sort of my next little point, just going through Philadelphia's roster, like their depth is going to be severely tested now that Joel Embiid is gone for at least 2 weeks after he had a dislocated finger. And it's now come out that he's got a torn ligament in that same finger. So now they're going to have to start shuffling around the lineup. You know, Al Horford's going to have to play center. Tobias Harris is probably going to have to move up to play the four. So
it's a bit better than they last had a butt. Like you're right. I mean, the death's going to be tested, but. You know, Al Horford's a nice little compliment there. That'd be
one of the reasons why they got Al Horford to start with, was just as essentially an insurance policy. If Embiid does look like he's going to go down, which he's just got a knack of doing, then they've got an insurance policy there with Al Horford. So that will help them out a little bit. But that just that again, that just leaves them somebody else on the bench is going to have to step up, and that just leaves them a little bit sort of vulnerable, I think, for at least 2 weeks. So that could probably be, you know, five to six, maybe seven games, depends on what their schedule looks like, if they've got any back to backs or anything like that. So
I guess
we'll see how they are in the next couple of weeks, if they've, you know, if they've started to teeter off a little bit, or they just keep rolling along.
Well, to me, this is where if Ben Simmons, because of all the chatter about him, if Ben Simmons is going to prove his worth, and I guess in staying outside, but just not there, not to be sort of traded, now's the time. Exactly right. And he is. I mean, in the absence of him, he is. Except that game with Josh Richardson, he is stepping up in points and rebounds. But
he's going to have to initiate a lot of the offense. Like, you know, he's even more, you know, rather than just possibly go to the easy option in Joel Embiid. So
if
we all know he's a good playmaker. So that's, I mean, it's just what sort of Brett Brown can do with him now for the next couple of weeks. And see how he can sort of team up and maybe get Ben Simmons some easy shots, if he's a little bit more willing to shoot anything outside 5 feet from the basket would be handy. But yeah, well, let's not get too crazy.
Well, this is the thing. Like, we've got the two, the Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I'll put it this way first. Do you think they play well together?
I think in patches they play well together.
Okay.
If you've got two dominant players, that's their problem is spacing, because it's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of teams know how to sort of play even just a high low post anymore. Or, you know, have two guys that can be. See, Simmons isn't really a post player, like he's more of a slasher to the cup. But correct. Embiid can just dominate anybody. Like, Embiid should be one of the most dominant players in this league at the moment, with the soft hands that he's got, the footwork that he's got, the way that he can either face you up to the basket, can back you down because he's got a large body. He should be one of the most dominant players in this league.
He should be
almost the one that's averaging, you know, 35 points a game. Because it's, I mean, defensively, he can shoot free throws well. Like, he's not an awful free throw shooter. You know, everybody knows he can knock down the triple. I just think sometimes they play lazy offense through him.
So do you keep them together and go out and get a shooter? I mean, it was only sort of a quick sort of thinking. I think that from Pistons, that Luke Kennard, who's a fairly decent three-pointer. Do you go and get someone that shoots, or do you? They're not going to blow them up, but if you had to build a team, whatever. No.
I think a lot of teams could use somebody like a Luke Kennard. Off their bench.
Yeah.
It's like you said. You know, it's a spacing issue. Like, even if they got someone like Kyle Korver back. You know, a veteran head there, somebody who you have to absolutely respect on the 3-point line. That's why I thought them losing JJ Redick and Jimmy Butler this previous offseason was huge for them.
It was a bit more offensively. It was a bit worse than they actually thought it was going to happen.
I think so. Like, it just seemed that to lose both of them, I thought was definitely a bad oversight.
So just if they have to, and it's not going to happen, and it probably won't happen for a while, but let's say they have to blow up that team. Do you build around Joel Embiid, or do you build around Ben Simmons? Because I hear some people say Ben, and I hear some people easily say Joel.
I'd say Joel Embiid until Ben Simmons can expand his range.
Yeah,
I think that's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, it is built around Joel Embiid, even though he can't prove to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think a healthy, you know, when Joel Embiid is healthy, he's a lot more dangerous than what Ben Simmons is in his current mold. If Ben Simmons can slowly expand the range, then he'll be an extremely dangerous player. And obviously he's probably got two years. So it's, age wise, it's not really that much, but I think you can do a lot more with Joel Embiid than what you can Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard chatter about, and I can't see him trading both of them, either of them anyway.
But I don't think so. They're going to have a lot of playoff failures, I think.
They're going to have to win the next two seasons. They're painting themselves into a hole because they have got some big contracts. And Tobias Harris's contract isn't small either. He's on 30 plus million. So
unless they can find a diamond in the rough. That's the other thing. They're going to be building through free agency and trades.
That's the other thing. They talk up those two guys. Tobias Harris isn't really proving his worth for $30 million a year. He's consistent, but
people rarely do prove they're worth $30 million. So, all he's got to do is just be that Tobias Harris that he has been for his career. Even he's not a bad back to the basket sort of player. I've seen glimpses of him, back people down and be aggressive on the low post. But we all know what his forte is. It's to space that floor. So, for them to even not so much Jimmy Butler, but for them to lose JJ Redick, I thought was huge.
Yeah, I agree. I'll segue into, a team that has lost a person, and it's only really through injuries, Anthony Davis for the Lakers. He's got that sort of, they're calling it sort of, well, he's had shoulder issues before, but this is a bit of, sort of back, what are they calling it, a back? Well, not
landed back, right on his, he landed right on his tailbone, so that didn't look very nice. And
a bruised sacrum.
There's your word for the week.
That's going to be my middle name at the end of this. Jason Sacrum Smith.
It didn't look very good.
No.
And, not to say that AD should know better, but he played in New Orleans last year with Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. He probably should have known a little bit better to sort of go up and challenge somebody who's as thick as what he is tall. Because that's what Julius Randle is. Julius Randle is the new bully ball. That's him. He's Zach Randolph, but he can actually jump.
And shoot. I love Zach Randle.
Yeah, he doesn't mind an outside shot or two, Julius Randle. But they just went up and just collided bodies. And there was only one way that was ever going to go, and that was Anthony Davis to go flying. That was a very awkward landing. That didn't look fun.
They did come up against the Mavericks and they beat the Mavericks 129 to 114. I think you said, Chris, I think we talked about this anyway. Chris Stapps was already out in that game. But Kuzma stepped in that game. So I know people are talking about it. It'd be absolutely ridiculous if they get rid of Kuzma. And if this is probably the biggest reason why.
I think it'd be insane because, coming off, 7 years of Anthony Davis in New Orleans, I think we all should know full well what an injury history he's had. He's been much, much better over the probably previous last 3 years.
But he's had
shoulder issues before. They've been thinking, he's had finger issues. He's had everything just about. But I think those shoulders would be the main concern. Because that sort of fall would have just shuttered your whole body. So who knows what sort of injury or lingering pain that he might have had sort of in any, if anything, that could have stirred up an old shoulder injury. You don't know. And just going by his previous injury history, I think the Lakers would be very cautious with him bringing him back.
Well, even if say Davis, I'll go back to the whole thing, the whole load management thing, you've got a great power forward in Kuzma on the bench.
you know, if he needs rest, give him rest. If LeBron James need rest, you know, you had Kuzma and Anthony Davis, you know, load manage these guys because they're going to need them come the finals. They played pretty well against the Mavericks.
Assuming they make the finals.
I would say postseason, then I won't say finals.
They're definitely going to need rest, so to speak. The Los Angeles Clippers, yeah, you can sort of take a page out of their book. There seems to be soreness and hamstring injuries and you know those types of things happening all over the place, which seems a little funny to me. But anyway, there just seems to be the same old thing. It's Kawhi Leonard did not play, knee soreness. And the last recent ones has been Paul George, DNP, hamstring. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're not being very creative with how they're sort of resting people.
What's interesting with the, with the Mavericks, like you said, with Kristaps out, is that their depth isn't really that good for the standard forward position. They have a lot of guards, and I mean a lot of guards. So, Boban's there.
You're going to be playing Boban 30 minutes every night? Like, man, you think that's able to take that beating every night?
That's what I mean. Like, so with Kristaps out, they started with Powell, Doncic, Hardaway Jr., Finney-Smith and Wright, and I think it was Maxi Kleber came off the bench and played, I guess, most of the minutes in a sort of center position. But they're pretty thin in that sort of forward position, that the power forward sort of center position, really. Now that I've sort of had a proper look at that game,
Dwight, a lot Powell of guards. Well, like that's mean. Yeah, they got plenty of guards. Like that, they should be able to space you out.
Steph Curry, they've got heaps of guards.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interior protection. So you think a lot of teams would be able to beat up on them inside?
Yeah.
Well, I would think so anyway. So,
any other sort of standout sort of games? Move on to some more news.
One game that I sort of did wanted to point out a little bit with it was on Friday here. It was a bit of a toilet bowl game in Detroit and Cleveland. But the new NBA demands 3-pointers being thrown up at a geometric rate. These two teams combined for 11 made 3-pointers between both teams. I thought that was a bit of a throwback to like 1996. So that's definitely not the modern NBA that we all know and love at the moment. But you know, Cleveland ended a 5-game skid with that game as well by beating Detroit. So maybe there might be something for them. And just probably a little bit of a segue into the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know how much you heard about the John Beilein comments in a post game press conference. it's funny the way it's just oh my God, like that should be a little firecracker, and the American public has turned it into a nuclear holocaust. Like, it's just insane. Like, he come out in the press conference and said, we're playing like thugs. About an hour later, one of his staff has come up to him and said to him, oh, do you realize you said thugs in that press conference? And he's like, oh, really? Oh, I meant to say slug. So I thought I said slugs. I meant to say slugs. You know, we're playing sluggish. Which is the perfect analogy for how Cleveland has been playing. Like, they're trying to play Houston Rockets basketball without Houston Rocket players. It's dribble, 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 dribble by Sexton or Garland. And that's it. No wonder Kevin Love is getting extremely pissed off with what's happening there. And there's just zero ball movement. Sort of hearing a little bit that the players aren't really responding very well to coach Beilein, but they come out in support of him after this. Yeah. So, you know, the American public have just ravished this story and, you know, sort of come out and said that there's racial undertones and everything and all the sort of BS like that. And it's just like, well, just like Beilein, I get it, you know, Beilein, he's 66. This is the first time he's had to coach in the NBA. You know, he's been at Michigan for ages before he took on this Cleveland job. So, you know, we're about halfway through the season now. So, you know, they're just a little bit of fatigue. Like, he wouldn't be used to flying all over the country like this. You know, in the Big Ten Conference, you're only flying not too far away, state to state. Right. You know, he's flying all across the country.
Yeah.
I just found that the way that they sort of try to nuke it during, you know, with the media, with this supposed racial undertone sort of thing, it's ludicrous to me. The players have come out and supported him and everything, like they understood and they knew what they meant to say, because they know that they've been playing sluggish and like slugs.
Yeah.
So it's whether it's a little bit of fatigue, you know, coming out. Like I said, the guy's 66. So I think we can sort of cut him a little bit of slack. I just found that they turned a mountain into a molehill. A molehill into a mountain. It just went out of control, and it just didn't need to.
This is more the media. We're really, I guess, well, not attacking him, but they're the media that turns everything from a little.
No, well, that's right. You know, it must have been a slow media week, or, you know, a slow news week, or whatever. They had to grip onto this and sort of, you know, completely blow it totally out of proportion. So, just thought I'd come and point that out. Like, him, the statement itself makes no sense. We're playing like a bunch of thugs. So if they're playing like a bunch of thugs, that means they're playing like the 1988 Pistons Bad Boys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in this day and age, that's how they would be playing. You know, it would be Bill Laimbeer clotheslining Robert Parrish. Like, that's playing like a bunch of thugs. Do you know what
wouldn't
I mean?
Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if they all came out in that... Remember that Detroit when they all came out with that, like, basically like straight out of Compton sort of like NWA sort of wear when they all wore that at the warm-up game? That'd be awesome if they came out the next game. That'd be so funny. Yeah,
start dressing up like Bone Thugs and Harmony.
No, it's just like if they all came out with like all the like NWA gear just to like play on what was actually said, it'd be awesome.
I'll start wearing Tupac gear and putting some Oakland Raiders
and stuff
on.
Like that. That'd be awesome.
Well, in sort of saying that, Bone Thugs and Harmony, they are from Cleveland, so maybe he was listening to a bit of Crossroads or something before he come out to the press conference. Like, you know, that seems plausible.
It actually does seem plausible.
he might have just seen like Busy Bone in cruising around in the back of the arena somewhere. Like, we don't know that.
No, this is true. well, maybe. Who knows? I'm not going to say what I think I was going to say. So, moving on. Just a couple of things that sort of, just I guess sort of news-wise, or just sort of things I sort of picked up on was... Joe Ingles, he's been playing really, really well at the moment at the Utah Jazz, like extremely well.
Since they put him back in that starting lineup, man, he has been playing awesome.
And I guess, unfortunately, then that's sort of, they've got this $221 million problem now and Michael Conley that they signed for 5 years. So,
Is it not fitting in? Like, I don't know.
Because we both at the start, we were talking about preview teams and all that. We were like high on Utah Jazz because of their depth and because they had Conley that could, you know, complement that team very well. You know, Donovan Mitchell, like, you know, it would be easy for just to, you know, play off Conley and just get Donovan just to go to the hoop.
But yeah, I don't know. Is it? I can't work out why Conley's just not playing well there, or just he's just not fitting in. And Ingles is,
Ingles is tried and true there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So,
He's familiar. He's familiar with the system. I can't think of who the coach is there at Quinn Snyder. I don't know why I had mental blank just there. Yeah, Quinn Snyder. I guess him trying to initiate him into a new system and offense, and to say that they haven't been playing well is that they've peeled off 9 straight and they've won 14 out of the last 15. They've really clicked as well. Correct. Over the short term, probably over the last month or so, they've been playing great.
Yeah.
Is that a result of, a shuffled lineup? Donovan Mitchell missed a game the other day through illness. That didn't really faze them. They're starting to find their groove. I think Jordan Clarkson is a perfect complementary piece for them coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So I think, this nine game run that they're on at the moment, essentially coincides with Jordan Clarkson being there. They just look like a bit of a revitalized team. But yeah, it's just sort of circling back to Conley. I think you've just got to trust that he, as a professional, is going to find his feet. Finally, he had a good streak. It might have been a month plus ago that he had a good stretch and looked like he was starting to find his feet. But now, it looks like he's just sort of dropped out a little bit. So they've just got to keep their trust in him. He's a veteran. Hopefully they'll be able to figure everything out by the time the playoffs hit. We're only halfway through the season, so there's still a long time to figure out. And with them playing the way that they are at the moment, that's pretty damn good that this isn't really costing them a high seed in the playoffs at the moment.
No, that's right. Come playoff time, he might complement them very well. So, they are playing phenomenally well. You are right.
We said last week, once the playoffs come around, everything slows down. So that's
exactly.
A lot of high octane teams get slowed down. So, Utah might like that sort of pace once the playoffs come around, a lot more half court sets. So that might play into their hands a little bit. So, as we go on about Utah, they've been the hot team, them and LA really, the Lakers have been the hot team over the last sort of 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, no, well, you're right. Well, they've won 9, as of speaking right now, they've won 9 in a row, and the Lakers have won 8 in a row. So, yeah, Utah pushing up to third has been great. Other sort of news, I guess, before we finish off, I'm going to call it your boy, Zion. You're hearing sort of unconfirmed stuff?
Well, although, I'm sort of hearing whispers
saying this in 3 hours ago. Sorry to interrupt. Saying this 3 hours ago, it looks like he's been sleeping on the Pelicans bench.
Looks like he was getting a bit bored during the Pistons game today. He might have had a bit of a late night there in Detroit the night before, didn't quite sleep very well. He looked like he was getting a bit weary. That was kind of funny. So. I'm sort of hearing a few little unconfirmed whispers around that there's the possibility that he is very much ready to go and could be making his team debut this Friday our time against Utah.
Beautiful. Is that a televised game?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. I noticed in talking about televised games, I noticed the Portland Trailblazers are getting more and more televised games, and I'm assuming that's on the back of, how surprisingly well Carmelo Anthony's been playing.
No, that's true. I think Melo sort of brought them back. Not so much back into relevance, but I think I think they've been a lot better. They're just no nah, that the next New Orleans game is in New Orleans versus Utah, and very, very much not nationally televised. Although their next game after that is against the Clippers, and that's on ABC. So that's going to be that's a big game for them. That's on the big boy. That's on the big boy network. That's on ABC.
Yeah, that's prime time, that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game. So hopefully
I wonder if they rest him or no. I suppose he's going to need some court time if they do rest him up until that game. But yeah, guess we'll just have to see.
Oh, that'll be interesting anyway to see what sort of happens there. Well, just sort of one more little thing just before we possible studs and duds of the week. Just in regards to what the Western Conference playoffs are looking like right now. Just a little bit of a useless stat that sort of as you know that I like to come up with every now and then. Just the way that things are going, the last time that a Western Conference team went into the playoffs with a losing record, so I'm guessing a 40 and 42 and under, which was quite a long time ago. It was 1997, and the LA Clippers made the Western Conference playoffs with a 36 and 46 record. The way things are going at this point in time, just looking at the standings as of today, Memphis, who I'm extremely surprised that they've sort of slotted into the eight spot at the moment, 18 and 22, so four games under 500. San Antonio are the same, 17 and 21, so four games under 500. It's very much looking like that a team that is going to have a losing record could possibly get into the Western Conference playoffs this year. Like I said, and that hasn't happened since 1997. I was blown away by that stat that come up, that it hasn't happened in 23 years. And for it to be the Clippers. that's just something that sort of that made my eyeballs sort of pop out a little bit to considering the amount of teams that have made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference just over the last 5 years that have been under 500 and well below 500, some teams, and multiple teams under 500 making the playoffs. So for that to ring true for the Western Conference is that's jaw-dropping.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But is that just talking about is that just because of the extreme depth that the Western Conference has, or?
Well, you could probably sort of dive right into it, dive more into it, so to speak. But I just thought, when I seen that stat, I'm just like, wow, that's, and for a team to be the Clippers and for them to make it at 36 and 46, like, who was the seventh seed that year? Like, they must have obviously had a winning record, or they were 41 and 41.
Yeah, true.
So,
when was that? Was a lockout year, was it?
No. I think the lockout was 99.
Okay.
That was the Spurs.
Because that kind of makes sense if it was a lockout year, but.
Yeah. Nah, but 36 and 46, that's a regular 82-game season. But I'm pretty sure that lockout season was... Was 99, because that was the season that the Knicks made the playoffs as an 8 seed and then got rumbled by San Antonio in the finals. They made the finals all the way from the 8 seed. With Latrell Sprewell, Larry Johnson, Marcus Camby, guys like that. I think H2O might have even been there as well. Sorry, Alan Houston, for people who don't know who H2O is, unless you were thinking of water. just this big blob of water running around the court.
This big blob of water. Well, technically, we're all made of water. most
of our... That's true. That's right. So, yeah, you see, he's just a little bit more water than everybody else. But yeah, that's I'm pretty sure that was the first of those lockout season was 1999, without asking Uncle Google.
Well, this is true. Did you have any sort of studs and duds of the week? I definitely had a stud of the week. Probably pick out a dud, but would you have a stud of the week?
Well, I thought Jason Tatum's career high 41 the other day against New Orleans, where they just beat the crap out of them. They've been a little bit undermanned the last few games. No Redick, no Holiday, no Favors. Boston sort of pummeled the crap out of them a couple of days ago. But, yeah, Jason Tatum had 41, which is a career high. Notables. You know, James Harden had two straight 40-point triple-doubles. Four, 44, 11, 11, and 41, 10, and 10. Like, far out. Like, okay, granted, the second one was against Atlanta. But in that same game as well, Clint Capella had 22 points and 22 rebounds. So, people just beating on Atlanta at the moment. More Atlanta talk. Sorry. I've got to stop.
My start of the week is, and this is because of his age, I guess, that sort of stood out, LeBron James. Joined the other Laker, Elgin Baylor. So he joined him. He's his second player, we're talking about his second oldest player in league history to score 35 points, 16 rebounds, and 7 assists. So just absolutely productive for his age.
Well, that's right. For what, fifteenth season in the league now. So he's ever. I'm telling you, man, I've told you what the secret sauce is there in LA. It's two letters.
I thought it was LA.
Well, that's right. It's AD, but he transforms into oil of LA. That's the secret sauce.
I didn't really have a sort of dud of the week, but I just found just Devontae Graham. He's cooled off a bit for Charlotte. Looking at his sort of plus minus, he had such a hot sort of start of the season, but his plus sort of minus record, he's dropped 58 points in the last four games. So, which isn't sort of bode well, but that's probably just more, I guess, Charlotte talk as well compared to the actual Devontae Graham, but it just sort of started, in a plus sort of minus, which we probably shouldn't always go off plus minus records, but it just stood out to me because it was such a massive drop. You could sort of see when I sort of check up the plus minuses, well, minus 58, he was easily on top, sort of stands out really. It's a big drop to where he was, so
yeah. I'm sort of thinking, along the lines of when we talk about Devontae Graham and him possibly getting, most improved player of the year, it's only his second year, so I wouldn't like to see him get it. And just sort of going through the betting odds on who's going to get most improved player, Doncic is playing $2.10. And, my man Brandon Ingram is paying $8. So if anybody out there is looking for a value bet, $8 on Brandon. I reckon Brandon Ingram's got it in the bag. But $8 for Brandon Ingram, if you can hold your wad till the end of the year, then $8 on Brandon Ingram to win the NBA's most improved player. I think she's a sure thing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, definitely.
I can't. Luka Doncic could win the MVP. How would that look? Him getting the MVP and the most improved player.
I still think it's Giannis's to lose.
The MVP. I think so.
I just think they're up top for the reason. Like 35-6. That's something. No, exactly. They have the best record out of everybody, and it's him.
That'll be the telling tale. Is where the Bucks finish and where the Mavericks finish.
and
can they
and
just going, just before we go, can they stop wearing those City Mavs uniforms, please? Can they stop wearing them? They wear them every game.
Looks like Luka didn't like wearing them and nearly got ripped in half during the games.
Yeah, he tried to rip it in half when he kept missing free throws, which cost myself and other yeah, exactly. Cost myself and other people stat stuff of bets on a certain betting app, which was very upsetting. So you should have ripped that thing right off. Just go back to the normal Mavs uniforms, Dallas. Just do it.
I think you're right. Just with Yana, they'll finish on top of the East, and you can't compare the East to the West. But they have the best win loss record in the entire NBA, like they did last year. So. And the Mavericks just, they might finish top four maybe, but
that'll depend on when Porzingis comes back.
Yeah, correct. I just mean if we're talking MVP race, Giannis is pretty. I so far in the bag, and like you said, it's not always. Luka Doncic has improved immensely, and that's underselling it evenly, but. No. You're right. I mean, so is Brandon Ingram by leaps and bounds.
Second year in the league. Like, you should be improving.
Yeah,
that's my argument. You know, for Devontae Graham and for Luka Doncic, like, you should be improving. It's your second year in the league. If you're a star player, you should be improving. I think, you know, this sort of award should be for, you know, for guys that are a little bit past that first, second slash, you know, year. You know, rookie, sophomore.
Technically, Pascal Siakam is improving on what he did last year.
Exactly. So, I think he's got more of a chance to do it again because he's putting up, you know, crazy numbers this year. You know,
so he got most improved last year. Yeah, most improved last year, and he's doing better than last year. So to that's me, right. that's it's not going to happen, but to me, that's in the bag, like if you think about it.
Oh, he's just paying about $20, so get on that.
Okay, I think I might get on that one. That's not a stat stuff I won, but I might get on
that one. No, that's not a stats. I mean, you just got to hold out till the end of the year, that's all. And if the NBA is going to keep doing this stupid crap where they have to wait until after the finals until they start giving out these awards, that is just ridiculous. Just when the regular season finishes, give the awards out, be done. Some players haven't played for 2 months.
Yeah, but do you think these
award things? It's dumb.
Just like the NFL. The NFL do the same thing. NFL do the same thing.
Yeah, but they've got a really long off season. The NBA like sort of doesn't really. If you're sort of making the deep finals, you know, then you don't have a lot of time off.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, that'll do it for this NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all those. Yeah, all those socials out there, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, they're all at the Final Play Pod or the Final Play Podcast. I lost what I was going to call my middle name again, but I'm going to sign up as Jason.
Yeah, may as well just sign up as your actual name.
No, Jason Sacrum Smith. Smith. Yeah. It was Bruce Sacrum. Yeah.
Make sure you put bruised in there. So.
No, I'm not going to put that in there. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.